Today I'm going to tell you a story at B1 or B2 level. I'm just going to bring out today, though, the B2 language in this story. So this is especially interesting for students studying towards a B2 level, but also good for those students who are B1 students. So here we go. Hello and welcome to Practicing English. My name is Mike Bilbrough and these are podcasts for students of English at B1 or B2 levels, practicingenglish.com. My story today is called The Harmonica Players. Now, I think in most languages, the word harmonica, a musical instrument, is familiar to most people. I think the word is similar in many languages. Harmonica. It's a small instrument about, well, it can vary, but usually about 15 centimeters long, which you hold in your hands and you play it by putting it into your mouth and you blow through it, the harmonica. And the harmonica is especially famous for playing blues music, which came from the United States. The first blues players were black Americans, names like Sonny Boy Williamson, James Cotton, and Little Walter. Another word which is going to be important to understand this story is the accommodation called a bedsit. Now, outside the UK, I'm not sure if many people would know what this is. A bedsit is a place where you live. Usually it'll be rented accommodation, and it is very small and everything is in the same room usually. The kitchen, the bathroom, the living room, and the bedroom are all together in one room. It's obviously cheaper to stay, and it is a choice for many students or people who perhaps don't have a good salary and stay in a bedsit because the rent is cheaper and more economical. So my story starts off about this bedsit. And another thing, and well, why am I saying this? Is because I remember when I was a student living in a bedsit, and it was really quite uncomfortable, very cold in winter, and very expensive to keep warm. There was a heater in the room, I remember, but to keep the heater on, you had to put money, pound coins. Well, in those days, I think there weren't pound coins, they're probably 50 pence coins, into a meter. And a meter is like a black box, which is on the wall, and it controlled the amount of electricity which came into your bedsit. So you had to put these coins into the meter if you wanted electricity. And there would be some annoying moments when you found you didn't have any more coins, pound coins or 50 pence coins, and you'd have to go out late at night or first thing in the morning to find somewhere where you could change your money to get these coins. Otherwise, you had no water, you had no heating, and you had no way of cooking anything because everything was on electricity. So I'll be mentioning that about the meter in my story. Now, the phrases I'm going to point out today I'm going to bring out for you. I'll read them in the order that they appear in the story, or that you will hear them in the story. And as I say, these are B2 phrases. And my first one is, he couldn't face starting his day without a hot shower. He couldn't face. So if you can't face something, it means you find it very difficult to do something. It is just something that you always prefer to do, and if you can't do it, it's something terrible for you. For example, like having a shower in the morning. He couldn't face starting the day without a hot shower. My next one is all of a sudden, an expression that you'd put at the beginning of a sentence, all of a sudden, comma. The ceiling light, television, fridge, and electric heater all came on at once. So here you may imagine I'm making a reference to this meter, where you would have no electricity until you put the coins into the meter, and then everything would come on. All of a sudden. It's just another way of saying suddenly, suddenly. All of a sudden. By the way, all these expressions will be in the show notes at podcast 188 and also at my website, practicingenglish.com 188. And my next expression is to get hold of. To get hold of is a phrasal verb for to obtain. So in this case, the sentence reads, work as a musician had been difficult to get hold of. It had been difficult to get, difficult to find, to get hold of something. My next expression is from time to time, which really is another way of saying occasionally or even sometimes. So for your writing or for your speaking in the exam, using from time to time is a nice alternative. So listen out for the sentence in the story. From time to time, he gave harmonica lessons online. My next expression is to keep an eye out for something. And the expression reads, Martin always kept his eye out for a job that he could do. So if you keep your eye out for something, it means you're always looking, maybe on the internet, maybe in a newspaper or any source of reference for jobs, in this case, to find a job. To keep your eye out for something is to be always attentive, looking for something. To keep your eye out. Martin always kept his eye out for a job that he could do. My next expression is similar to from time to time. It's every once in a while. I suppose every once in a while is less often than from time to time. I suppose it would be, yes, just occasionally or even rarely, perhaps. And the sentence in the story reads, every once in a while, he'd found work doing what he really loved. My next expression is a chance of a lifetime. So a chance here meaning an opportunity, and of a lifetime means any time in our life. So a chance in a lifetime is really something, an opportunity, which comes up perhaps only once, and it's an opportunity that you want to take, a chance of a lifetime. And my next expression is to drop out. So that's a phrasal verb, and to drop out of college. So if you become a student at a university, and then for some reason you don't finish the course and you leave university, we use the phrasal verb to drop out. He dropped out of college. And the next expression is to struggle to make ends meet. To struggle means to fight, to find something very, very difficult. I had this in a previous podcast. I think the last one that we did used this word, to struggle. To make ends meet, which means that to have enough money to get to the end of the month, to have enough money to pay your bills. To make ends meet, we say. Struggling to make ends meet. Listen out for it in the story. My next expression is, Jeffrey had a strong dislike of mobile phones. A strong dislike. Well, I think perhaps you can work that out. The word dislike is also a verb, to dislike something. We can use it as a noun here with an adjective in front of it. A strong dislike of something, meaning you just don't like something. Jeffrey had a strong dislike of mobile phones. And the penultimate one today is to be behind bars. And if you're behind bars, it just means really to be in prison, in jail, in prison really, as a criminal. And the expression in the story is, they should be behind bars. And my last one for you to listen out for is to gaze. Again, we had this last podcast. To gaze out of the window, G-A-Z-E, which means to look usually for a long time at something. The word gaze we use perhaps because we're thinking about something else as we look. To gaze out of the window. And in the story it reads, she gazed out of the window at the daffodils among the snow. Daffodils being flowers that grow in gardens. She gazed out of the window at the daffodils in the snow. So that's it for my vocabulary for this story. Let's go straight into the story then. It's called The Harmonica Players, Part 1. Here we go. The Harmonica Players by M.A. Bilborough, Part 1. This is a B1, B2 story for students of English. Copyright M.A. Bilborough. Clapham Junction, London. 7 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't a good start to the day for Martin Adamu. He'd run out of £1 coins for the electric meter again. That meant there was no electricity, no hot water, no heating, and no hot breakfast. Somehow, he couldn't face starting his day without a hot shower and a steaming mug of coffee, at least. Martin picked up his overcoat and his key and opened the front door of his rented bedsit. He ran down the thickly carpeted stairs from the third floor, opened the outside door to the building, and ran out into the snow and freezing air. Fortunately, even at this early hour in the morning, the little Indian grocer's shop was open. The owner, Abdul Aziz, greeted Martin with an understanding smile when he saw Martin with snow on his slippers and the pyjama bottoms showing under his overcoat. Abdul changed Martin's £5 note for the coins he needed and wished him luck. Martin now realized he might miss the train if he didn't hurry. Once back in his bedsit, with his thumb, he hurriedly pushed a couple of coins into the meter on the wall. All of a sudden, the ceiling light, television, fridge, and electric heater all came on at once. The ugly room suddenly became more appealing again. 15 minutes later, Martin emerged from the tiny shower, built into one corner of his living room, bedroom, kitchen, mini bedsit. Despite the electric heater, the place was still icy cold. So after getting dressed, he felt the need to put on his overcoat once more while he cooked his breakfast. Martin sat down at a little wooden table with his bacon sandwich on a plate and his mug of coffee, enjoying the warming effects of hot food in his body. He leant his mobile phone against a plastic flower pot containing a rather brown-looking cactus, which Martin suspected had died ages ago, but he kept it just in case it might still be alive. He read the WhatsApp message again, just to make sure he'd got it right. Harmonica player wanted for professional band. Blues music specialists only may apply. Regular gigs in the London area. It was just what Martin had been looking for. Since his arrival from Nigeria 10 years ago, work as a musician had been difficult to get hold of. He'd had to take on anything he could, washing up or waiting work in restaurants, serving in McDonald's. He'd even worked as an assistant in a shoe shop. From time to time he gave harmonica lessons online, which he really enjoyed. Martin always kept his eye out for a job that he could do. Nevertheless, he always managed to pay the bills. Every once in a while, he'd found work doing what he really loved, playing the harmonica in a blues band. Martin had been playing since as far back as he could remember. When he was in Lagos, Nigeria, he belonged to a band, a lead guitarist, bass guitar, drummer, and keyboards. Then he'd been offered a grant to study at London's Royal College of Music, a chance of a lifetime. But things hadn't worked out. When Martin was in his second year of the Royal College of Music, he received the terrible news that his parents had both been killed in a car crash outside Lagos. Martin fell into a deep depression and just couldn't face life, so he dropped out of college. Martin had been allowed to stay on in the UK, so here he was several years later, now recovered but struggling to make ends meet. Martin finished his breakfast, then got up and went to the bathroom to clean his teeth. An essential operation for a harmonica player. A clean mouth keeps the instrument free of unwanted dirt. You don't want bits of toast blocking the harmonica reeds. He pulled out his most valuable possession from beneath the bed, a black bag about 40 centimetres long, unzipped and opened it. He gazed lovingly at his 12 harmonicas, each held upright in its hole. Why 12? Because you need one harmonica for each of the 12 keys. He would take them all to the interview because he couldn't know which he might need to play. Presumably, he would be required to give a short performance. Martin now carefully took out his favourite, a B-flat harmonica, and played a minor blues scale, backwards and forwards a few times, ensuring every note was pure and precise. Then he played a few of his favourite licks. A lick is a harmonica musician's term. It means a musical phrase. When you played several together, they would make up a melody. He then put the harmonica back in the bag, zipped it up, and was just about to leave when he decided to grab his lucky hat and put it on. He was conscious of the fact that looking the part was vital, not only to convince those who would interview him, but also for himself. His hat should give him the self-confidence he would need. 8 o'clock. If he hurried, he should get the 8:20 train to Victoria Station. Martin ran back down the stairs and once more out into the snow. Oxted, Surrey, a sleepy middle-class town south of London. 6:30 in the morning. Geoffrey Fawcett Smythe sat at his breakfast table, shaking his head. He was reading the morning newspaper, a genuine paper pages newspaper, which he had specially delivered from his local newsagents every morning. Geoffrey had a strong dislike of mobile phones and all that technological garbage, although he owned one himself. But whenever possible, he would use a more traditional means of seeking information. "Send them all to Rwanda, that's what I say," declared Geoffrey to anybody who might be listening. The only person who might be listening was Geoffrey's wife, Melissa, who probably wasn't. She was in front of the glass ceramic induction hob, frying eggs and bacon for her husband in her new non-stick pan.
"Fried bread this morning, dear,"
she said automatically.
"Oh, yes, please, Melissa. And could you make some more coffee? This has gone cold."
Geoffrey turned his attention back to the newspaper.
"I mean, who could deny that all these illegal immigrants are obviously criminals? Coming to our country is against the law. They should be behind bars. They're lucky to be sent to Rwanda. I'm sure the weather's better there."
The doorbell rang. Geoffrey looked up from his newspaper. Melissa was looking out of the large window across the snowy lawn and flower beds to the peaceful road beyond, which he could just see through the dark cedar trees. A blue van.
"Amazon, I think, dear,"
she said, when she saw that her husband had no intention of going to the front door himself. She took the pan off the heat, wiped her hands, and walked out of the kitchen to the front door. She shortly came back with a small brown package in her hand.
"Your new harmonica,"
she said, smiling. She handed the package to her husband and went back to her eggs, bacon, and bread frying. Geoffrey put down his newspaper. Without a word, he quickly tore off the brown cardboard packaging, like an excited child opening a present on Christmas morning. Then he ripped out the contents. A Hohner Marine Band Deluxe Harmonica in B-flat. He carefully extracted the instrument from its box and turned it over in his hands, feeling the quality of the wood and patterned metal.
"A thing of beauty," Geoffrey said out loud, but to nobody in particular.
His eyes fixed on the bright, shiny object as though he had discovered some great treasure. Meanwhile, Melissa looked up from the hob and gazed out of the window at the daffodils in the snow. For a few brief moments, she wondered how long it had been since her husband had used that word, beauty, to describe her looks. And that is the end of part one of my story, The Harmonica Players. Next week, I'll read part two to you. Did you hear the phrases that I pointed out at the beginning of the story? Until next time, goodbye for now.